On this edition of the Cubs Talk podcast, an NBC Sports Chicago production, Gordon Whitmire, David Kaplan, and myself, Tim Stebbins, discuss the catching market and who could be out there for the Cubs. Just how many hitters do the Cubs have on their current roster? And look ahead to the non-tender deadline and what it could mean for a potential Cody Bellinger pursuit.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Let's play two.
Back!
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast, the presentation of NBC Sports Chicago, NBCSportsChicago.com, with Tim Stebbins, Gordon Whitmire, Claire Phillippe, Tony Gill. I'm David Kaplan. Okay, I was texting with Wilson Contreras yesterday.
My guy.
He's turned down the qualifying offer. It's official, the paperwork, all done. And the Cubs reportedly are looking, as we intimated the other day on our another edition of the podcast, at a fairly accomplished, not starting level catcher. The names Christian Vasquez and Omar Narvaez, among others.
Vasquez is a starter.
Bandied about, and they have Yan Gomes. So I guess we can officially close the books on my guy Wilson Contreras.
Well, we knew that, right?
Where's it going? if that's where we're at.
I just don't understand how we got to this position. But if you look at Vasquez and Narvaez, either one you find intriguing?
Vasquez is a nice defensive catcher. Supposedly that's part of why Dusty wanted him. Plus he figured that maybe he wouldn't need as many at-bats down the stretch when they pivoted from Wilson on the trade talks at the deadline, and they went and got him. He's a good catcher. He's second. Wilson's the clear number one catcher on the market, and Vasquez is probably the clear number two catcher. So if they get Vasquez, having moved on from Wilson, that's a win. I don't think they're going to, because I think they have other needs in the middle infield and on a pitching staff that are bigger than that. And you do have Gomes already in-house. So Narvaez maybe is more their speed at that position, I think. I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
I was trying to quickly look this up. I have failed to do so. I thought there was something defensively a couple years back about Narvaez, and I thought off the top of my head it was a framing element, but there was something defensively with him that I don't want to speak off cuff that was I don't want to call it an issue, but something that he had room to improve on, I guess. Like, you know, and pitch framing might not have been it, but there was something I remember specifically, because he's been out there in the open market, trade candidate, whatever, for a few years now, on and off, obviously. And I'd like to look more into that side of it, because like we talked about the other day, Jed said this is a run prevention position, and that's where you have to start if you're looking for...
You got P.J. Higgins. What more do you want?
Hey, they always talk highly of him, and the pitchers love working with him. But if you're looking at catchers and saying, well, if you're looking at guys who maybe had a 15 home runs and a 370 on base, that's great, but I don't think that's all they're going to be looking for, and it might not even be where they start.
So John Mozeliak spoke today. He was speaking to some of the St. Louis media.
Yeah, I saw this.
And he said, I want to make it clear, we're seeking catching help, and we need to add a left-handed bat.
Yeah, no shit, Mo. Jeez.
Okay. Asked specifically about interest in the number one catcher on the market, former Cub Wilson Contreras, Mozeliak declined to publicly comment on the free agent's potential market, calling that a dangerous game, and instead simply doubled down on interest in catching help. Quote, We are in the catching market.
Yeah, I talked to him last week about that, too.
There are other names that they would be looking at, including, they mentioned Christian Vasquez and Narvaez, Mike Zunino, who was the number three pick, I think, when he came into the big leagues in the draft.
Seattle, I believe.
And Tucker Barnhart.
Interesting. I think they're in the Vasquez market primarily, and don't be surprised if this if there's not a little bit of misdirection going on when it comes to Contreras. They were a bottom three team in the majors last year in offensive production they got from catcher. Some people did projections on this. If they were just average at that position, they'd have won, I don't know how many more games and been closer to having a bye. It would have made a huge difference in their final record and maybe even in the postseason. So they're not – I don't think they're going to give up on offense at that position at the same time. And I do think there's a formula there, again, that we saw the Cubs use. I think they ought to bring in Contreras and somebody else and pair them up. And keep Contreras' bat in that lineup, either at DH or maybe another position that he can play on the days that he's not catching, and really bolster that position. You're not going to replace Yadi Molina. I mean, that guy's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, Cubs fans don't like that. Watch out.
He's going.
Yeah, he's going. Deal with it.
I know they keep saying Jason Kendall has a higher career war. Stop. That's what's wrong with them with the war stat.
But here's the thing with Wilson.
And sorry, Dom.
I wrote this the other day.
Love you, but you're wrong.
There's not a more motivated free agent on the market right now than Wilson Contreras.
Oh, my goodness.
And if he went to the Cardinals, that would be the ceiling on the motivation level for this player going somewhere in free agency. On top of all that, this is a guy who has always tried to get better and improved his game. In a different organization like that, that emphasizes the defensive things that they do, there's a chance that he could get better at 30 going into that organization. And keep this in mind. We keep talking about the rules changes next year with the base running and the bases are 4.5 inches closer. Who controls a running game better as a catcher?
Nobody.
Nobody. Who's got a bigger arm as a catcher? I'm not sure anybody does. He's a top two at least. What the hell are you guys laughing at?
Peanut galleries. A peanut gallery.
We got some people behind the cameras over here apparently amused.
They are amused.
You kind of tickled my interest with the Zunino line. I'll say this. He played 36 games in 2022 and then he said tickle. I said tickled. Anyway, you piqued my interest. Sorry, so I sound more philosophical. Zunino only had 36 games in 2022, and they had thoracic outlet syndrome. So,
yikes!
That's
a classic Cubs signing, isn't it?
Weren't they
bounce back?
Wasn't Archer someone that was another X-ray who also had that recently? He was linked to them in some regard. Anyway, with the Rays though, in 2021, he had 33 home runs, and you know, I can find any stats to say defensively this guy's good. He looked pretty good according to Fangraph's defensive ranking in 2021 when he was healthy.
Are we talking about the Cubs getting him?
If we're talking about a catcher, they're going to have to get a catcher, right? But Vasquez, you said, like, that's going to be a hot market. Narvaez, people talk about. I wonder if, like, buy low or buy low, high reward kind of thing with Zunino.
Their whole damn roster is buy low.
This guy had that for everybody.
But this guy was an all-star a year ago, 2021. And you'd have to check.
Yeah, okay.
This is not just a quintessential, like, oh, yeah, it's a buy low because this isn't that reason. Like, this guy has a track record. It's just, you know, he has a major injury that you would have to very, very quick
at
the medicals.
So I want a different guy out of the same draft class.
Free agent?
What year was that?
2012. That would be Carlos Correa.
Nice.
I thought you were talking about a catcher. I was like,
Correa. No. That draft went Correa, Byron Buxton, Mike Zunino, Kevin Gausman, Kyle Zimmer, Albert Almora, Max Fried. Which one isn't like the rest?
You could get Almora. He's available.
I'm going to pass there. It then went Mark Appel, Andrew Haney, David Dahl, Addison Russell, Gavin Cecchini, Courtney Hawkins. That one didn't work out well for the White Sox. Nick Treviso, Tyler Naquin, Lucas Giolito, DJ Davis, Corey Seager, and Michael Wacha and Chris Stratton. That's your top 20.
Marcus Stroman, 22, right?
Yeah. Marcus Stroman went 22. Jose Berríos went 32. Yeah, did not go well.
A stacked draft.
It's a really good draft. It did not go well for the Cubs and White Sox in that. Patrick Wisdom went 52.
Jed Hoyer said last week, our payroll's going up, and we expect it to continue going up. As we get better, we expect to be back at the levels that we were 2016, 17, 18, 19.
That's top three in the game.
That's top three in the game. That's luxury tax threshold level. If he's right about that, then there's no reason on God's green earth you can't go out there and be serious about Carlos Correa. I don't mean you necessarily
Turner.
Get him. Or Turner, for that matter. But the guy, we've talked about this a bunch of times, the guy who's 2 years younger than the rest of them is Correa. He's in his prime. You go get him now, and even if you're an 80 to 85 win team next year and not in the playoffs, he's there when you're ready the next year. He's there still in his prime as potentially a leader for this team at that point going into 2024.
I got a different topic. I didn't want to jump in mid-topic there.
Bring it up.
Is it baseball?
I can go not baseball if you like.
Oh, okay. I was just curious if
I had a sausage, egg, and cheese bagel for lunch. Pretty good.
By squirrels or something.
Well, we're recording this. By the time this drops, Friday, that's the non-tender deadline. I don't know if, as far as we, 2 years ago, dramatic with the Cubs, with, you know, Schwarber was non-tendered. The Cubs guys who are eligible for arbitration are Happ, Rowan Wick, Cody Hoyer, Horner, Madrigal, Ortega. But
why would you tender contract to Ortega?
Well, I'm just saying.
I don't see that happening.
That's not a non-tender. Because
he's left-handed. I mean, that would be the only reason.
Yeah.
And well, he can play some center.
If you're non-tender, I'm saying, if you non-tender any of those guys, I mean, save Happ and Horner, obviously.
And he's cheap.
That's not the level of a Schwarber 2 years ago, probably. But you've written about this. Another guy that could be non-tendered in L.A., what does that look like with Cody Bellinger? What are, you know, they non-tender him, perhaps? Do they?
And what do you do, make him your center fielder?
It's a perfect fit. They need a center fielder, and they need center field at-bats. Primary center field at bats and some first base at bats, minimum, because Mervis will get a shot in all likelihood in 2023. Just go take a look at his Arizona Fall League coming off of that breakout minor league season. He should get a shot next year, but you don't want to just hand him the position, and they're not going to. They would love to be able to pair him with somebody, give him a softer landing, and let him earn more at bats as it goes. Bellinger's the perfect guy. He's a former MVP 2019. He's looked like crap the last couple of years. He's had some injury issues and stuff, but he's still only 27 years old. He's a guy who would probably be looking at a one-year deal.
A pillow deal.
You go get him on a one-year contract, and make it significant because of what he's done if he passes your physical, but a one-year deal where he rebuilds some free agent stock going into next year, and then you toggle him between those two positions.
When is the Abreu news going to drop, wherever he's going?
I think that market plays out for a while. Now that Rizzo's off the market back with the Yankees, Abreu's, a lot of teams have money, handful of teams have a need at that position, and the enticing thing about him is he's got proven slugger pedigree. But he's on the older side, so there's not a long-term commitment that's going to be involved with him. There might be a little bit of extra AAV that would otherwise not be there because the market should be fairly strong for him. But I think that plays out for a while. I don't think it's quick. It might happen next month on or right after the winter meetings. That would be about the earliest I would see it happening.
Still hoping that there's a Thanksgiving surprise right before Thanksgiving. You know what? I want to enjoy my turkey. I'm going to get my deal done.
Do you think somebody would try to trade for Bellinger tomorrow if we're going to talk about this? Like, because
the problem is, what did he make this year? $17 million?
Yes.
And so when you take a guy through arbitration, you can't cut him more than 20%. And whatever 20% of that is, what, $3 million off of that, $13, $14 million, he might not be a $13, $14 million player. And that's assuming that you can get him for that through arbitration. So I'm sure they're trying to trade him, but unless that's a deal that's got multiple players involved and different assets going back and forth, you're not going to be able to move him.
As long as Jed doesn't give up good prospects for Jose Quintana again, I'm good.
There you go with your freaking Buick crap again. By the way, Jose Quintana performed really well for a playoff team this year.
I saw a prediction he could get like 2-32 or something.
How about that? Winter.
God bless him. If there's a GM dumb enough to give him 2-32 out there, I want that ass to be on my schedule 40 times a season because I'll beat him.
If you'd have gotten your Justin frickin' Verlander like you wanted that year, you'd have gotten a bust because he was a 4-plus ERA guy and you didn't have the pitch lab that Houston did.
Bust.
Houston came in and reinvented the guy in there.
He won the Cy Young in 2019.
That's right. After Houston
took him. Joe Madden, your guy, might have still been here.
He would not have had the trajectory that he did there. They were state-of-the-art at the time. The Cubs were a fraction of the pitching infrastructure.
SodaWeightLoss.com.
Yeah. I'm just saying. The cheating damn Astros were banging trash cans in their pitch lab, too. I don't know if they were using syringes or what, but their pitch lab included some pretty amazing stuff.
All right, I'm leaving.
With spin rate. Yeah, that's right. Take your Jose Quintana ass and head on down the street. He's really leaving. Cap just leave?
Maybe he's got a Buick waiting for him outside to pick him up. Got somewhere to be.
I doubt it's a
funny thing is Verlander's a free agent now, too, and Quintana.
Well, I don't think Cap's coming back.
The door's been shut, it appears.
We got at least another 10, 15 minutes.
Well, I want to go back to this Bellinger thing. I'm actually curious.
We're just going to pretend like Cap wasn't here?
No, because we can. There's a seat there. It clearly looks like someone was there because we're all off. If he wasn't here, we wouldn't be in this arrangement, I feel like.
I wonder if he's going to be back next week.
My ask about Bellinger is, would they trade him? Look, $17 million is way too much for the production.
Hey, by the way, we can talk about Cap now.
Well, we can always talk about Cap. What do you got to say about Cap?
No, what about Bellinger?
My point is, look, they're clearly... You made a good point. They would clearly love to trade him, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Tim Stebbins and Gordon Whitmire podcast.
Should we like rearrange all the furniture mid-show?
This could be kind of like the Cubs front office with the deck chairs. Rearranging the deck chairs on the... Hey, go ahead. Never mind.
Look, they're trying to... they clearly would love to trade him and not lose him for nothing if they plan to non-tender him the Dodgers. If he gets non-tendered, like why he would make sense for the Cubs, there's probably 5 to 10 teams at least that would be like, yeah, we'll take a flyer on this guy.
Doubt.
So
no.
I ask about whether teams – I don't think teams would be willing to give up a lot for Cody Bellinger. Based on the last two and really even the shortened year, it was not great production.
I wouldn't give up a player for him at all. I wouldn't give up Jack for him.
I wonder if one team would because they know the market, if he gets non-tendered, will be hot. And
time out. Here's why you're not. Everybody knows he's being shopped right now. And maybe they don't have to give up much for him. But you still got to turn around and pay him the same amount of money as you would otherwise. I mean, it's still going to be a one-year deal. In all likelihood, a one-year deal. And it's still going to be, I don't know what it'll be. But you might wind up having to pay, what did we say, 13.5 million or something like that is the lowest you can pay him if you take him through arbitration because you can only cut him 20% from what he made this year. So you might have to, if you traded for him, you give up a player, and then you might have to pay him more than you would have to pay him if he's out there as a free agent.
I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just wondering.
I'm saying it's zero chance.
Yeah, I guess I was just taking the position of, I wonder if one team would love Cody Bellinger enough and be, we will not let anyone I guess it's maybe.
Why? Have you seen his numbers the last 2 years?
I guess I sound funny.
The team that knows him best is shopping a two-time All-Star and MVP who won the MVP in 2019.
This makes more sense in my head. I don't think what I'm saying is reality. I do think that what I'm saying, with any bad player or player who's struggled, there's always one team that's like, no, we could fix him or we really like him regardless, right? But that might not apply in this situation because of the reasons you're outlining.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it applies. Plus, there's been health issues with him. So
this little kid is shoulder celebrating in the World Series, I believe.
Yeah, so you've got to make sure that's okay. That's easier to do in a free agent situation than it is in a trade. I mean, you could make a deal for him, but you're banking on the health. As a free agent, you know, the market will start to play out. I don't think the market's going to be over the moon for this guy either.
I wonder if he would want to get a fresh start based on kind of how...
I would think so.
I think he wasn't even in the Dodgers playoff series. I think there was at least one game, because they were a quick out, obviously, where against a righty...
He was an even quicker out. Yeah. Did you watch him?
I didn't watch. Yeah, I didn't get really much chances to. Dave Roberts sat him against a righty, and I think it was a Padres series when they played them.
That probably tells you a lot of what you need to know on this market.
Right. So I wonder. I'm not saying or even trying to speculate that he is upset with the Dodgers organization or anything, but I do wonder if he's in a position where he's obviously, maybe from a baseball standpoint, fresh start, new ideas could help him, but even mentally, a fresh start and just.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still young enough that if he's healthy, there's no reason to think he can't perform again. MVP levels, I mean, that's a lot to ask of anybody, no matter who you are, but productive, reasonable levels, something approximating what he's done in the past, there's no reason to think he can't if he's healthy. And again, if he gets a fresh start, classic change of scenery guy. So, I mean, it could be the ideal fit. They'll definitely be in on it. You alluded to a lot of teams probably will because of the low years cost on him and plus even rebuilding teams could be in on him because he could be a flip guy. So, I mean, it could be almost, it could be 10, 15 teams could be in on him for various position fits in various stages of their competitive window.
As far as any non-tender guys, what is the quickest after that Friday deadline that we could see guys non-tendered latch on to new teams? Is that the same thing, day thing ever, or is that more they're open market and same as any free agency?
They just become free agents.
But there's no urgency?
I don't think so. You know, some guys might have more value than others. I mean, two of my favorite stories, guys I covered when they got non-tendered and who went on to bigger and better things. One of them was David Ortiz. I was covering Minnesota when he got non-tendered. It took 6 weeks for Theo to figure out this guy was worth signing. We knew it in Minnesota because we saw what he was as a hitter. Of course, everybody knew he was a deficit in the field. Get that. The guy's a Hall of Fame hitter. And we knew it then. The Twins didn't have the luxury of a high enough payroll to keep him as a non-defensive player. They needed to have, even with the DH league, they needed to have guys that could play positions, preferably multiple positions, and they weren't sure they could keep him healthy, and so they let him go. He would have been estimated as maybe a $2 million arbitration guy. Theo's Red Sox eventually got him for $1.25 million. But one of the reasons they hesitated was they already had like three DH/first basemen. And he didn't even make the starting lineup when the season opened. It wasn't until like maybe another 6 weeks into the season before he earned regular playing time. The other example was Schwarber a couple of years ago, and we saw what happened. That was that's probably the most egregious case of any of these guys they've kicked to the curb since the championship, because it was only about money and it was only about a 1-year commitment. That's how sort of cowardly they approached the biblical losses of the pandemic. It would have been an $8 million commitment that they chose to just wipe from the books. So instead, he becomes a free agent. And when did he sign? Do you I don't know. You have that on your handy dandy Google machine over there.
December 2nd, 2020, Schwarber non-tendered. January 9th, 21, National signed
so
Schwarber.
Another 5 weeks later, five plus weeks later, he gets signed. But he gets signed for $10 million. So he overperformed what his arbitration number was projected to be. And then he makes an all-star team. And then he gets a four-year contract for $79 million, makes another all-star team.
By the way, Jock Peterson, when their budget opened up, 1 year, $7
million. Right, exactly. So you couldn't have done that with Schwarber. And for that matter, clearly somebody was willing to pay $10 million for him. If you got him under contract for eight, you might have been able to shop him.
Yeah. Got anything else?
I got one. We keep talking about these guys are going to add. How many hitters do they have?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we talk about this all the time, but with Contreras out the door, you know how far away these guys are? We can talk about how good their starting pitching was in the second half all we want, even though some of those guys aren't back. We can talk about, you know, what they're doing with guys in their pitch lab now and bullpen arms. We can say they're going to spend and maybe get Senga. But, Christ, how are they going to score runs? I mean, that was part of the issue. They've got Happ and, we think, Suzuki as productive guys in the outfield.
I think you pencil him in.
Gomes is a legit big league player. I don't know how big his bat's going to play next year. Nico's a real deal guy. Who else? Madrigal's a singles hitter when he plays. Plays about 20 games a year, right? Patrick Wisdom's a real power threat when he connects. Strikes out about 40% of the time a year that he hits. So, I mean, dude, they got more hitting coaches than hitters.
They have four primary or assistant hitting coaches. And I think, I guess if you're looking at this, I would say Happ and Suzuki. Suzuki, I think, showed enough. And if he had played more games, maybe we talk about him differently. But in spite of that, he showed he's at least a solid big league hitter. I mean, a 769 OPS, I'd say solid. There's room to grow there. Happ, yeah. Horner, yeah. But from there, I guess it depends on how you're framing it as a question. And it's a very interesting one because Wisdom, 25 home runs, 134 games, like,
How many strikeouts?
That's what I'm going for. So he's 183 strikeouts. On a team, perhaps, let's see if I can. On a team that's 90 wins, right? What is the way that he would be used? Like going.
Rossi addressed this. We asked him about this. I can tell you exactly when we asked him about it. He was coming up on his 1 year anniversary of being with the Cubs. So this would have been May 25th ish.
Yeah.
And he had good numbers for a calendar year, but he had those strikeout totals. So what Ross said was that's tough to have. Those strikeout totals are tough to have if he's got to be the top half of your lineup. If you got a really good lineup that stretches out, you got some real middle of the order guys in there, and you're batting him down there 7-8, now he's a threat. Now you get some guys on base or the lineup gets down there, it's about ready to turn over again, and here comes Patrick Wisdom. If there's a dirty inning going on, this guy's up there, he's a threat. If he's got to be the threat, not so much. If he's a secondary threat lower in the order, he could play for a championship team. He could contribute in an important way for a championship team.
Right. I might if I'm sitting here looking at it in terms of I expect this roster to improve, the lineup to improve, I would include him, I think. Now, if you're saying, like, who are your bona fide numbers 1 through 4 hitters, like, in that lineup order, I wouldn't put him there based on what you're saying. Like, I think in an ideal situation as this team improves like they hope to, like you're saying, he's 6-7 power threat. So I would say Suzuki, Happ, Horner. Madrigal is one when you said he's a singles hitter, but if he can get back healthy, that's a nice piece. Is it an everyday starting second baseman piece if they had a shortstop? That's an interesting question, but that's definitely a nice piece. And Christopher Morel showed he's a nice piece. He struggled in the second half after that good first half, but I think he showed something there. How does he take a step forward from what he showed and kind of the slump that he went through? That's a nice piece. But I guess based on your question, as we're sitting here, the way you were laying it out, like you said, Hap, Horner, and Suzuki, like that's probably where I would start.
They need a monster in the middle.
They need a lot.
They need a lot. Frankly. They need two legit bats. If they get Correa, they still need another bat, another power bat, preferably a lefty. I think there aren't very many of them out there.
I think they needed two when they had Wilson Contreras on the team.
I agree. And now that's just one more bat you have to replace.
So first base, center field, shortstop, middle infield, what have you. Like, yeah, they need a couple.
By the way, for anybody not watching on YouTube, Cap still didn't come back.
I feel weird.
He was serious.
I feel weird being in the middle.
Hey, at least that's the final damn word we're going to have to hear on Quintana in that trade.
Do you have any final words?
I think that was my final word.
All right, that's Gordon's final word. That puts a wrap on this edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, an NBCSportsChicago.com production for the vacant seat left by David Kaplan.
Take that!
For Gordon Whitmire, I'm Tim Stebbins. We'll catch you next time.